Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Market View Wrap on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero for the workday afternoon. Joining me in today's wrap, SGX's strategic market analyst, Jeff Howie, and of course, every day on the show, our finance presenter, JP Ong. Now, we definitely have something in common. We like good whiskey and our good food. Mm-hmm. And we like the color green, which is what the STI is. Up 0.27% right now to 3,008 points. The question, of course, is, we closed there yesterday. Are we going to hold it for the rest of today?
The odds look to be in favor of the STI. And it's very momentous too that we saw the STI and Thursday close at exactly 3,000 points. No more, no less. That was the exact marker. And of course, the question was, can we actually hold on to that? Well, by the looks of it, there's enough space at least between us and that level to maybe, just enough cushioning at least, to maybe raise some hopes. 3,008 is where it's sitting at the moment on the back of 768 million Singapore dollars in total value turnover. So there's healthy appetite and positive appetite at that, supporting the STI in today's session. About 262 stocks, REITs and trusts currently in the green, 164 in the red. So you're seeing more winners than losers. So sentiment definitely leaning to the positive and significantly to the positive side here in Singapore. And when you compare that to the rest of the region, most markets are actually, they're actually taking profit and also taking a bit of a step back. We see the Nikkei 225 today down by about 0.5% in today's session. The ASX 200 flat out in Sydney over the course of Friday. The South Korean KOSPI today falling by about 1.5% in today's session on a day when the Bank of Korea decided to leave policy rates in South Korea unchanged, and also signaling that they might leave policy as is for the rest of 2021. We see the Taiwan Weight Exchange, though, trading about 6 points in the green. It's nothing to write home about, but they are one of the few exceptions along with the STI that's locking in gains for the most part. Out in mainland China, we're seeing a bit of a tumble right now. The Shanghai Composite falling by 0.7%. The Shenzhen Bourse also down by 1.5%. We do know that China has reported a worrisome rise, at least in COVID-19 infections, that could be linked to the winter season also, but is prompting concerns about whether there might be more lockdowns across the world's second largest economy, and if this could derail China's impressive and sustained economic recovery that's been really building since the second half of 2020. The Hang Seng also down by about 0.3%. There are a few notable losers out there. Xiaomi, for one, falling by almost 11% after they were also blacklisted by the U.S. government, of course, in the last days of the Trump administration. Of course, a lot of focus also on the recently announced stimulus policy from President-elect Joe Biden. He has outlined roughly $1.9 trillion in fiscal stimulus spending to support the economy. He wants to make this one of his priorities when he assumes office on January 20. And we also had comments from Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell. Now, after a number of Fed officials actually voiced out that they are not in favor of discussing tapering the extensive monetary support that the Fed has extended to the U.S. economy, Fed Chair Jerome Powell similarly echoed the same thing. He does think that there could be a strong rebound in spending and pent-up demand or pent-up spending once we get past the pandemic. But he did also say that for now, they are not going to entertain or really discuss in earnest a potential tapering of QE policy. So extended monetary support, possible fiscal stimulus coming down the pipeline, giving markets a bit of a reason to gain ground. But as we mentioned a while ago, it seems that Asian markets choosing to take profit now, there are some questions about whether or not valuations across the Asia-Pacific region are also trading near all-time highs in certain markets, whether it's time to start taking profit and whether or not some of these valuations are a little overstretched, frothy, or justifiable, and perhaps also one of the reasons why we're seeing many markets here across trading lower. The good news, though, is this STI is one of the exceptions to the rule now today in Asia, up and building some comfortable and comfortable padding at least above that 3,000 level.
Jeff, we started the week in the red. The STI for the first 2 days trading down slightly. So this is the happier number, happier situation. Value turnover is pretty high as well. A lot of advances, not so many decliners. Are we going to hold this for a while?
Yeah, well, look, so back at 3,000, it means we're, if we want to go back to where we were a year ago, back on that high, I think it was the 17th of January, the SDI would have to rally another 10% up to 32.80. But it's come a long way. You know, if it fell 20%, it would be back to where we were on the 30th of October. So there's been a lot of big moves. And a lot of those points JP made about the questions and the current state of the market are obviously highly relevant. But look, what's interesting is the mild gains this week. I think it's up, the STI on a whole for the 4.5 sessions is up 0.6%. And so it's currently trading at that intra-week high. It brings the year-to-date return to 6%, but this week it's a little bit different. It's been the smaller of the STI stocks that have performed comparatively strongly, with heavyweights such as Jardine Matheson Holdings, DBS Group Holdings, UOB among the laggards.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got Cycle and Carriage, Hong Kong Land, Yangtze Jiang, Dairy Farm. They've been among the leaders, and Cycle and Carriage the strongest. I think it ended last year at just around $19.55, and it's rallied to $20.78 at the end of last week, and extended those gains with the stock presently trading on the screens here at $22.68 after reaching a high of $22.93 on Wednesday. So remember it has that 50.1%, the Jardine Group has that 50.1% interest in Indonesia listed Astra International. So as much as 90% of Cycle and Carriage's revenue over the past 3 years did come from Astra. So the day-to-day moves of Cycle and Carriage are on pretty much for the last year, 95% correlated with the day-to-day moves of Astra. And that stock's up 11% so far this year. Cycle and Carriage is up around 15% this year. So it's what we've seen is Cycle and Carriage being recipient to, I think, just over $30 million of net institutional inflow. So that places it in the 10 stocks with the most net insti inflows in the year to date. And it's expected to report its FY20 numbers, I think, at the end of February. So similarly, when we look at the comparatively smaller capitalized REITs, they've also been among the stronger performers. So none of the five biggest weights of the IHS REIT indices have been among the top 15 performing REITs this week. But nonetheless, those five, what are they? Capitaland Integrated Commercial Trust, Ascendas REIT, Mapletree Logistics Trust, Mapletree's Industrial Trust, and the Commercial Trust, they've averaged around 2% gains so far this year, and that was following their 5% average gains last year. So just note that so far this year, it's, as we said, some of the smaller REITs, Lendlease Global Commercial REIT and Ara Logos Logistics Trust have been leading the REIT sector, with the REIT sector up about 3%. And I'll just also add, outside the STI and the REITs, there's also been somewhat of a China / commodity sub-theme working in our market over the past five sessions. So we've got SunPower Group, Valuetronics, China Everbright among the stronger performers, in addition to the likes of Golden Agri Resources and First Resources. So SunPower Group's share price, it's gained around 15% from 82 cents at the end of the year to 94.5 cents at lunch. And it announced on Tuesday it was acquiring the thermal business of Stanley Group and a 25-year exclusive right to supply steam to Stanley, and that basically followed an announcement on the last trading sessions of last year that SunPower was entering into SPA to divert its manufacturing services businesses away to enable a strategic focus on its green investments. So Valuetronics as well, I think it's at 67.5 cents after ending last year at 59 cents. And I should add that on that commodity front too, while the crude palm oil prices have come off a little in recent weeks, crude palm oil does remain trading at a 50% higher price than its end of June 2020 levels. So I guess that's to wrap up what we're looking at within the stock market. As we said, some of the smaller caps to mid caps in the important segments have been seeing some of the stronger gains.
Okay, you know, for a long time, a lot of the focus has been on the manufacturers of PPEs and what have you. And, you know, now I'm looking at where is the next interest going to be. Now, OPEC Plus did announce that they're going to be cutting production. That's going to drive prices of oil up. How is that going to affect some of the maritime industries here. Well,
I think the offshore and marine sector, and at least certain plays here, have actually gained ground. We have seen Sembcorp Marine also start off the year very strong. And there is a notable positive correlation now between oil prices and Sembcorp Marine in recent times. Keep in mind that, and we have to again highlight that this is still, chatter among investors at the moment, that there is still some speculation or maybe even hopes that there could be a merger in the offing in these more mergers in the offshore and marine space and perhaps also involving Sembcorp Marine in the future. But if you start to see oil prices move up, it might also lend more proof or even more support to why a merger might make sense, because it does make the prospects, at least, of some of these operators a little bit more their profit outlook a little bit more positive. So, of course, the offshore and marine sector is something to look out for, and also just looking at the overall commodity space. The one thing, though, that folks have noted, though, is that, yes, OPEC Plus is cutting. Yes, we have seen oil inventories in the U.S. also decline. But recently, we have seen oil prices just tremble a little bit in today's session, and there is concerns that the small lockdowns that you're seeing across some of these Chinese cities could actually lead to bigger lockdowns if China is not able to control the COVID-19 pandemic. As we know, China also one of the biggest consumers of oil in the world, and if we start to see a slowdown of the Chinese economy because of this, oil demand could also get impacted negatively. So it's not bereft of risks, but overall we have seen that oil for the most part at the start of this year has held on to gains, and it's also lifted some of the some stocks here, chiefly in the O&M sector.
Okay, yeah. We are 5 days away from Joe Biden's inauguration. And the Dow has been a little bit up, a little bit down, and Singapore does look to what's happening in the U.S. What are we looking at for next week?
Jeff?
Well, starting with the U.S., if we're looking at that speech today, it was very much as expected, not much surprises. The good news is the first line of defense against the coronavirus in the U.S. is the vaccine. The next is, of course, the protective equipment, the personal protective equipment, medical supplies, rubber gloves, social distancing, safe practices at work, and so forth. As you said, we've been covering the PPE for a while. It's still relevant with what Joe Biden was saying in the U.S. And obviously, the sooner that they can return to a new normal, the better it is for the international aspects of, I guess, the consumer service orientated travel and tourism hospitality side of the Singapore economy. But for us next week, our key data release is obviously non-oil domestic exports on Monday. And then, of course, very important because the local real estate development sector has also been received quite a bit of focus and a bit of a spotlight of the market in the year to date. And remember that we will have that final print for the fourth quarter of 2020, the Urban Redevelopment Authority Property Price Index for private housing, which was basically up, 2.1% quarter on quarter was the preliminary estimate, and it's not expected to be very different. Obviously, with the private home prices rising last year, we're going to see, continued focus, not just on the housing side of it, but also the developers here in Singapore and across the world. It's a pretty important segment.
And just to add very quickly also, over in China, it's going to be a big day on Monday because that's when China releases its full-year GDP figures for 2020. And we'll just see how robust this economy, this economic rebound was for China, if it was enough for them to actually lift itself out of the big losses they saw early last year. Also, fixed asset investments, industrial production, and retail sales in China also due on Monday. So it's going to be a big macro day alongside those NODX numbers here in Singapore, as Jeff mentioned.
And if you like your gossip, there's also that trial I guess the sentencing for the heir of Samsung in Korea on Monday.
There's that too. Absolutely. There's it's shaping up to be a juicy start to the year and a new year, but some wrinkles that are carrying over from the year prior.
Jeff?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I couldn't say it any better. But I will point out also, as I did say, our real estate developer stocks have been under a bit of focus because they weren't one of the strongest segments of the market last year. But so far, we've got Capital Land up between 5% and 6% in the year to date. You've got Gawco Land up similarly, up around 5%. Centurion Corp is up 4%. Wing Thai up 2%. Hong Kong Land Holdings is up as much as 15% this year. And then OKH Global up 7% and so forth. So APAC Realty as well, I should mention, APAC Realty, I should say, is up over 3% as well in the year to date.
All right, lots to look forward to. Lots to actually be monitoring for the rest of the day for JP when he comes back for his next Market View update at 4:05. This has been Market View on Workday Afternoon. I'm Clarissa Montero, joined by strategic market analyst from the SGX, Jeff Howie, and our finance presenter, JP Ong. Stay with us on Money FM 89.3.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance.